And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. I am the Blue Ranger, Michael, being joined this week by Red Ranger, Sasha.
The one, the only, the ever snarky.
Oh, I believe there's snark coming.
Me? Snark? You think?
Just a little bit. I don't know. Sometimes. But this week's episode, we're doing Golden Homecoming, Mondo's Last Stand, and Bomber and Summer. So we kind of get these three episodes we're about to do, we kind of get three different phases of Power Rangers Zeo. We get to see who this so-called gold person that's going to take over for the Gold Ranger is going to be. Mondo's Last Stand is very self-aware of itself. And then Bomber becomes like that transition of what we may get. And then I think we have another episode, a couple episodes later, where you get really, really snarky because of characters introduced.
You don't say.
You look so enthused. But starting off of Golden Homecoming, the quick synopsis on it is the Gold Ranger requires a new host for his powers, and the Zeo Rangers are thrilled to learn that an old friend has been chosen to bear this honor. But will he be enough to stop King Mondo's new line of invincible monsters? So episode opens up, and like, we're doing the last episode of a multi-episode arc, and
this is the Tommy show.
Yeah. Which is hilarious because Brian and I did three episodes of a Tommy arc, which then you and Ben did the fourth and final episode of that arc.
Hey, you were at the exact same episode planning meeting, so don't look at me. I still don't understand how I got stuck with the Louis Kaboom saga. Here we are.
I mean, to be honest, none of us read anything about any of the episodes.
Yeah, maybe we should next time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we already know we already know in Turbo Ben has claimed the pizza episode.
Great, but we're not at Turbo yet. This is still Zeo.
We're getting there.
No, this episode opens with Tommy in really big trouble, and he's not alone.
Yeah, and everyone else is at the command center anxious as to who Tommy is bringing. And while Tommy and the Mystery Man are under attack.
Let's not forget that they can't contact Tommy until they can. And they can't teleport Tommy until he gets past the threshold, blah, 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 blah. But what's funny is they're like, oh, we can't contact Tommy because King Mondo will listen into this plan, because that's the thing. He listens to communications. Okay. And then literally 2 seconds later, they call Tommy and let him know that he needs to go 100 feet north so they can teleport him. Well, things that make no sense.
But not only that, but it's also a fact that he's not allowed to morph.
Yeah. Why is that? That also made no sense.
Like, lots of things don't make sense, but they get to the threshold and they get teleported over to the power chamber. But then we shoot, which we'll do the Rito Goldar stuff later, which then we get Tommy introducing Jason
back. Reintroducing Jason.
Well, okay, let's be brutally honest here. Let's look at the four other people who are there. We're not going to count Billy because he's technically not a ranger.
He's technically not a ranger because writers and producers are stupid jerks.
Yeah, I know. But you have Rocky and Adam, who they did know Jason.
I understand that Tanya and Kat have never met Jason, even though Kat acts like she's known him this entire time. Maybe she's been reading Tommy's letters that he's been getting from the peace conference. But the point is that for the audience, this is a reintroduction.
Yes, it's a reintroduction to the audience, but it's a very awkward introduction to the team, because when you're watching it, Kat and Tanya, as you mentioned, they've never met him. And let's be honest, Adam and Rocky probably have it the most awkward because they really didn't spend any time with Jason, Trini, and Zach to the power transfer.
Here's the thing. I think they did, but they didn't, because the reason that they didn't is because you know, Austin St. John had been fired and it was like a body double. And so they kept the cast that already that remained, which was Billy, Kim, and Tommy, and had them interact with the new Rangers, which at the time was Aisha, Rocky, and Adam. But they were there, so they knew of them.
Yeah, they knew of them, but they never...
Look, it's not like they were BFFs, but they went to they ended up going to the same school, didn't they? Or unless they transferred to Angel Grove High literally right after these three left, because this is how Angel Grove High works. You have to have three students leave before you can take three new students.
I actually think they did transfer in after they got the powers. But,
whatever. This is Power Ranger where things make no sense at all, ever.
Yep. Meanwhile, at the Machine Empire...
Hold on. There's one other thing I want to talk about before we move to the Machine Empire here.
All right.
Until Jason walks through the doors of the bunker command center, whatever it's called, we don't know, I'm using air quotes, not like anybody can see me, of who the Ranger is, because of the implication, he's wearing like a white bandana and sunglasses and a trench coat for some reason. He must have come from, you know, someplace cold or whatever. But the implication is that it's Tommy's brother. Because we've had sort of these hints and Easter eggs, like who could potentially be the Gold Ranger. And then it turned out to be nobody we knew. And Billy, for BS reasons that are too irritating to name right now, we couldn't have Billy be the Gold Ranger. So we bring in somebody else. And Tommy says, I have an idea. And so we think it's going to be his brother, but the second, and kids won't notice it, right? But watching it as an adult, you notice very clear differences instantly, because how Jason carries himself and his walk and his sort of swagger, for lack of a better term, is so much different from Tommy's brother. So even if you don't know, you're like, wait, could that be Tommy's brother? Is he walking kind of funny? No, that can't be Tommy's brother. And so they do a good job of keeping the mystery. And so you don't never fully zoom into his face. You see these angles or at a distance. And it was actually well done. So I will give them kudos to that. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. And for the record, that was not any type of trench coat that he was wearing.
Whatever.
He was wearing what is called a duster, which is a Western style of trench coat.
So it is a trench coat.
But it's a Western style. It's proper name is a duster. Still a
freaking trench coat. Shut up.
No, proper name is Duster. I own one. I know.
So it's a trench coat with an addendum. Give me a break. Yeah, now you can move on to the Machine Empire, unless you want to nitpick at something else.
We'll find things. We'll find things. But anyways, to the moon. Speaking of to the moon, meanwhile, the Machine Empire has rebuilt several of their old robots with a special neo-plutonium armor.
Neo-plutonium!
Woo! To make them invincible, and Prince Sprocket has asked that his favorite of the bunch, Silo, be sent down first.
Ooh, neo-plutonium!
Yep. As a result of the silo going down, the Rangers morph into action to take on the silo monster. And at the power chamber, Trey of Triforia transfers the Gold Ranger powers to Jason, to which then he heads into action. And then once this is actually like probably the smart thing. It's like, oh yeah, you know, we're putting this neo-plutonium armor onto these monsters. You know, let's actually have it take effect. And so they hit Silo with the power cannon. To no effect. Clank then proceeds to make the monster grow, and Billy brings the Rangers back to the command center. This is where Billy pulls rank and just goes, no, get back over here.
Well, because Billy's right, and he's like, my scans show that this is some kind of new metal alloy, BS science. And it's like nearly indestructible, and it's like nothing we've seen on Earth. I'm like, cool. So it's glitter.
Well, this one we don't actually see how the armor looks because it's just embedded within them. It's not.
Yeah,
like,
that's why I called it glitter.
It's, but they don't glitter. They don't.
Oh my god, they don't sparkle.
Damn it! You just took my line. They don't sparkle. Anyways. Trey of Triforia, as a result, gives the Rangers the Super Zeo gems, and the Super Zeo Zords are now at the Rangers' disposal as a result. Mondo sends an army of monsters, and the Rangers get back to action with their new Zords. And at this point, the Rangers are just cleaning house, making the Neo-Plutonium kind of useless at this point now.
Neo-Plutonium!
And then after the Rangers win, they're back at the youth center.
Hold on a second. Has Jason been at the peace conference this entire time?
Yes. He openly says that too.
Yeah, he says peace conferences. So I'm like, do you not go to school? Do you just school. Sit as like a even more useless like Model UN kind of thing?
So I wouldn't be surprised if they do have like some sort of classes that they have to do and stuff like that. Like, I wouldn't be surprised, because there are things that actually do send you off. Like, actually, perfect example, Canadian juniors for hockey. When they go up to Canada and they do the thing, yes, they are drafted into a legitimate hockey league, but they still have to do schooling. It is part of the whole thing. They have to
Right. I understand how this works in sports. Thank you. But
so I'm pretty sure they have the same thing when it comes to the
people. Right. But here's the problem. None of that is explained. Nada. Zip. I've been at the peace conferences.
Yeah. But anyways.
You couldn't even say that, like, oh, after the peace conference, I got accepted to study abroad at the Sorbonne or at some fancy Norwegian CERN is in Switzerland thing.
Anyways.
Welcome to Power Rangers, where nothing ever makes sense and plot is a skill.
But anyways, back at the youth center, Jason and Tommy train. Jason explains that leaving was not easy, but he knew the Rangers would be in good hands with Tommy as their leader. Jason then says he doesn't want Tommy to think that he's going to try and take the leadership position back,
even though he was better at it.
And then Tommy consoles him by saying that the Power Rangers are a team and no one of them is more important than the other. And then
says Jason, the man who's the center of attention in this season.
Yeah. Moving from that, let's talk about Bulk and Skull. Get those notes back up. So
Bulk and Skull up at this point have kept Goldar and Rito, who like totes have amnesia. And finally, I'm sorry. Meanwhile, Lieutenant Stone, who looks like a dweeb if I've ever seen one, is, has them like take care of his car. And I'm like, why would you put them in charge of taking care of your car? This is a recipe for disaster. I love Bulk and Skull, truly and deeply, but anytime they get assigned a task, shenanigans happen. And the fact that Lieutenant Stone or Detective Stone hasn't figured it out by now proves that he's more insane than they are.
Yep. But in this one, it's really not about Bulk and Skull. It's actually more about Goldar and Rito.
Because they're dreaming about their past.
Yes, and suddenly
yelling at them.
And then, suddenly Rita's voice cuts into their dreams. She admonishes the pair for going soft during her and Lord Zedd's departure. And she reminds them that they're supposed to be the bad guys. Zedd agrees and think the two have become maids to a couple of meatheads. That actually was a pretty good line. I actually kind of like that one. Causing him and Rita to laugh at them. Tell them to stop wasting their time on Earth, and Zedd points out that they have big plans involving the sabotaging of the Machine Empire, and they need Goldar and Rito to help make it happen. I mean, they did technically do a decent job of blowing up the command center.
Except for the part where they were supposed to steal the Zeo Crystal and get out and get back to the moon before it went kaboom.
Yeah, but anyways, when they wake up, Goldar and Rito find their swords and memories, and Wings in Goldar's case have returned.
Other dumb question, how'd they get back on the moon?
That Winnebago has some massive skills. And Goldar has his wings back now, too, so he can fly.
Sure.
But anyways, Goldar and Rito steal Stone's car. Or no. No, they steal the motorcycle, and Bulk and Skull chase Goldar and Rito in Stone's car. Shenanigans appears, and Silo crushes the car.
Yeah.
Oh, and then elsewhere, Goldar and Rito are teleported off of Earth by Rita.
Ah, there we go.
While Detective Stone is not happy at all to see his car turn into a metal pancake.
Wait a minute. Un momento, por favor. So Rita has the capability to teleport Rito and Goldar to the moon, but she has no capability of teleporting herself or anybody else off the moon to literally anywhere else. Weren't they supposed to go to Daddy's house?
I think the Winnebago broke down one too many times.
They have to change. This is like Serpentera, but like if it was like 1,000 years older.
Okay, listen, we know Serpentera has horrible battery storage. Like, the Energizer Bunny can't save Serpentera.
Okay.
The Energizer Bunny is coming up, and even with those brand new batteries that they're promoting in the commercials, where he beats the drum and then he breaks the drum and he's broken like 20 drums because of these new style batteries, even the Energizer Bunny is looking at Serpentera going like, nah, man, I ain't even trying with this one. And just turns around and goes away. But anyways, that was Golden Homecoming. It was essentially, it was a homecoming. It was the return of Jason to Power Rangers.
Yep.
And that, I mean, and then technically it could be a homecoming for Goldar and Rito because
for reference, not all episode titles are going to be the smart.
Yep. So which brings us to our next episode, which is Mondo's Last Stand, which is another one that actually title is appropriate for episode. So we begin at the youth center where Adam and Jason are sparring, and then we get more Jason and Tommy sparring. And at the same time, we see Bulk and Skull getting to Rocky because of the return of Jason. And as
but Rocky also should have like more than two brain cells to know that like, this is, he's been a Power Ranger for like 3 years now. Like, come on, come on. This is not that weird. There's always Rangers coming and going. It's like a freaking rotating door at this point. Like, it's not a big deal. But yeah, Bulk and Skull egg him on. And instead of saying like, no, that's not true, go away, he just buys into it because Bulk and Skull are experts on their team dynamics now. Give me a break. But this goes back to what Ben and I have been saying essentially this entire season, that this is not the best Bulk and Skull season. They have a few decent moments, but a lot of the season is just kind of a regression in a lot of ways for Bulk and Skull.
Yeah, but this episode ultimately at the end of the day is a King Mondo episode because it does start off with him stating that he is furious at how his finest robots have been defeated by the Zeo Rangers.
If those were his finest robots, that's a little sad. I don't know. That begs the question. How is this the mighty conquering machine empire then?
And then, but then we get the Alex Borstein voiced Queen Machina. Consoles him by bringing up how none of them could ever have been as smart as himself. To which Mondo turns to an age-old proverb, if you want something done right, do it yourself.
Ah, yes, because unfeeling and cold machines totally know proverbs of ancient Earth history.
Yes. To
that
which
makes sense!
But he announces that he will unearth the Democles sword, a powerful but very unstable
Democles!
Whatever. But very unstable ancient weapon that he used in a previous campaign 1,000 years ago.
Even though I'm pretty sure it's like an ancient, like it's a thing from like, I'm going to guess ancient Greece or something.
Ancient Rome.
Whatever, same thing.
One of the two. It's definitely one of the two. Anyways, Machina and Sprocket warned Mondo that he himself had buried the sword specifically so that he wouldn't be tempted to use it again. But Mondo claims that this time will be different and begins to summon its power. Any thoughts on
Nope, it's Greek. Fight me. It just happened to take place in Sicily in the 4th century BC, which makes it Greek.
Okay,
that works. Anyway, yeah, what was your question?
Your thoughts on his plan.
This is a stupid plan. Actually, no, I take that back. This is a generally better plan than his normal ones of like doing the Rita and Zed shtick. But what makes him think that now he can get the sword and control it when he couldn't before, when there's no indication that he's received any kind of upgrade or that he even really does anything different?
Yeah. So as a result of this, the Rangers communicators go off and they quietly leave to answer. However, Jason is stopped by Bulk and Skull, but we'll get to that one a little bit later. The Rangers arrive on their Zeo jet cycles.
Oh, I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot of those.
Which then they are greeted by Quadra Fighters and Cogs. Tommy actually leaves Rocky in charge of the battle as he confronts Mondo, who has finished unearthing the Damocles sword. But the
Damocles, it's not that hard.
Shut up, Meg. Anyways. But the mechanical monarch escapes. Regrouping at the power chamber, Tommy barely has time to thank Rocky. But in all honesty,
Rocky's just dumb.
But in all honesty, though, in this battle, Rocky's not having a good time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Battles of good versus evil are supposed to be happy and exciting?
Yeah, like there's...
You mean it's just easy to go and get in a giant robot and punch a monster? Yeah, it sounds totally easy.
But, like, it's interesting because, like, there's a moment where, you know, Rocky runs into... you know, Mondo, and then he encounters him and he chooses not to call the others, to which then he automatically summons his Super Zeo Zord, and then Mondo just lays the smackdown on Rocky.
Yeah, because Rocky's dumb.
And he's like, he's just upset he failed against Mondo again, but by himself, to which then leads the rest of the Rangers to morph into action. Which then brings a Super Zeo Megazord time.
Ooh, Super Zeo Zords. Ooh.
And in the meantime, there's a part that Jason's trying to get, but is attacked by Cogs, but Billy's able to sneak in and get that part that they needed. And then as a result, yeah, and then the Rangers destroy Mondo's sword. They do the final strike to defeat Mondo. And he actually blows up and he goes into millions of pieces. And then at the end of the episode, Rocky apologizes to the team for being selfish, to which the team accept. But then it brings us to the storyline of Bulk and Skull, where Detective Stone gets them to stop bullying Rocky in order to help a new client, which is Harriet Gerard of the Burble Baby Food Foundation, and she wants them to find Mr. Burble's long-lost nephew, the original burbling Burble Baby. You say that one 6 times fast.
Nah, I'll leave that to you.
And is offering $10,000 for finding him. And according to her calculations, the burbling baby is presumed to be a teenager who has just moved back to Angel Grove. Which
and
is why
I'll just assume that it's Jason. So in basically, I guess they needed to write Jason out of this episode. So they made that Bulk and Skull's job. But it's kind of funny because they confront Jason and then his communicator falls into Bulk or Skull's briefcase. And then there's this funny scene where they're in the detective agency and the communicator keeps beeping. It's like, oh, what is this? What is this? And then as soon as they pick up the communicator, it disappears because it gets teleported away. And I'm like,
I like how they do the fingerprinting on Jason. Like, it was kind of funny. But back at the youth center, after like the Rangers destroy Mondo and everything, Bulk and Skull continue to pester Jason, but Miss Gerard arrives to call the search. She has found the actual burbling baby, Ernie.
Whoop de freaking do.
Ernie is one good-looking teenager, wouldn't you agree?
I could not give a single flying... This is a kid show.
Yes, it is. So, yeah, Mondo is gone. Thoughts on that?
good riddance. But honestly, I don't care because Mondo is a weak villain in general. So his departure, I already know what it means because I've watched the rest of the season, but it's the potential. And I was talking, because again, we record these episodes out of order, but I was talking to Brian, like, this would have been interesting if this leads to like Sprocket taking a more leadership position in the Empire and blah, blah, blah. But we know that doesn't happen. We get just kind of, we get a replaceable villain, and then we get the true heroes of this season, or villains of this season, I mean.
Well, I mean, it's kind of funny, though. Like, you mentioned how Sprocket, you would assume he would try to take over. He does.
Yeah, for like 2 seconds.
He actually does try to take over, but the problem is that he gets thwarted at every turn.
Well, like, he tries, but
it actually begins here with this episode that we're about to do, which is Bomber and Summer, because this is the beginning of where Sprocket actually does try to take over, and he goes haywire.
The problem is that Sprocket never gets upgraded, right? He's the same as he was from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. We don't care. But anyway, there is now a power vacuum in the Machine Empire, so let's see who shows up to fill it.
Yep.
It's a monarchy, so that, sure.
But yeah, so anyways, we get over there and we do see Prince Sprocket's impatience to have King Mondo come back is grinding all of Queen Machina's gears when a missile that is fired by Rita and Zed.
Wait, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. Did you say Sprocket thinks Mondo will come back?
Yes, because Machina was telling him that apparently the last time that Mondo had the sword, he got destroyed as well.
I mean, it's a machine. It makes sense that it's going to take a while to kind of, you know, reassemble them. Parts and whatnot. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. So Machina actually does tell him that, you know, yeah, he'll be back. It just takes time. So a missile hits and explodes into a monster. And this missile is actually shot from Earth by Rito and Goldar at the Machine Empire at the behest of Lord Zed and Rita.
And my note on that says Rita and Zed are planning the comeback tour.
Yes, because they are planning a comeback tour with the hopes that Louis Kaboom can thwart the Machine Empire and bring them back into power.
Boy.
Yes. And when Louis Kaboom lands, he becomes smitten with Machina and decides to try to win her love instead of doing what Rita and Zed want him to do. And Clank actually geniusly suggests that the best way to do that is to destroy the Power Rangers with a monster. So Louis returns to Earth just to do that as the monster. And I think that was actually kind of genius by Clank. They're going like, I see what this guy is trying to do, and I'm going to try to get rid of him. It was a kind of a smart move by Clank. Sure. Meanwhile, back at the beach, Ernie is hosting a Hawaiian beach party to which motorcyclists, bikers, show up and they ruin the party. And they do some hooligans. However, Jason sees the girl from the beach much later on at the youth center and goes to talk to her. While they go to the beach to get away from prying eyes, because she was afraid that if anyone saw her talking to him, that it would cause trouble, they actually find Louis Kaboom's remote control. And then he gets her to run away. Jason morphs into action to take on Louis and another monster, to which then Billy summons the others to help Jason. I really like Billy just kind of giving orders at this point now.
Yeah, because Zordon's useless. I have a note about that. It says here, Zordon is useless. Leave Billy alone. But it bothers me because Billy's like doing his best with a piece of machinery and tech that is like from an entirely different planet that he's never seen before, and Zordon is like, are you done yet? I'm like, shut up,
let's see you do this, Zordon.
Yeah, get out of your stupid freaking tube and help for once instead of commenting.
I know, come on.
Also, I think it's funny that Ernie's afraid of bikers. I don't care, but I think it's funny.
Yeah.
It's not like he could have done anything, really.
Yeah, but so the Rangers made Louis and Tusk. That was the name of the monster retreat. The Rangers go back for a Super Zeo Megazord time while Jason takes on the Cogs, which was kind of an interesting thing because I guess Tusk was the one that enlarged and whatnot. However, Billy fixes the remote and turns off Louis Kaboom at the same time. So they defeat Tusk. And then the beach club is saved because Jason was able to talk to the girl.
Jason was nice to a girl for 2 seconds and it paid off. The girl in their defense does become a recurring character. And it's sort of implied that her and Jason are dating or some nonsense. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't. Also things I don't care about. Louis Kaboom. He's annoying.
He's going to be the bane of your existence.
Yeah. And all those episodes have been recorded already.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a waste of space because I guess Sentai footage. I don't know. I don't care.
But yeah, so it should also be noted there is no Balkan Skull. There is no Detective Stone.
Whatever. No one misses Lieutenant Detective Stone.
So it's one of those more... It's really essentially, okay, Mondo is gone. Here's the new baddie for a little bit. You know, key baddie for a little bit.
Yep. So
that's essentially what this episode was.
Yep.
So we went from introducing a new Gold Ranger, which was the homecoming of Jason back to the show.
Yep.
To the destruction of Mondo.
Yep.
To the introduction of Louis Kaboom, the bane of Sasha's existence.
Yep.
Fantastic. Where can people find you on social media, Sasha?
Geekgirl101.tumblr.com. I am always complaining about Jewish representation. Hit me up. And of course, over at Geeky Kaplan, that is Kaplan with a K after the greatest superhero in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Fight me, Billy Kaplan. And for everything else, this is also on at VFTG_PR.
Yep.
Our voices and, you know, Twitter, whatever. I don't know. I'm done.
Yep. You can follow me on Twitter at @thelindenbaum75, facebook.com/x75productions, Twitch at twitch.tv/themichaelx75, and on the website, everything's on there, txhdhockey.com, and you just click on the x75 productions tab for everything, including voices from the grid, and the Twitter is at @vftg_pr. So until next time, grab your Zionizers and may the power protect you.
The joke's not on Blue. It's on Louis Kaboom.